Hey, what's up? This is Ranting with Randy. I'm Randy, and this is a rant about anything and everything that could possibly drive you absolutely stark raving mad. And I've been a little bit delayed. I've been a little bit sick. I got beat with the sick stick. We're going to rant. We can always rant about politics, about sports, about the weather, about the bus, about the train, really about everything. But we're going to wrap up, hopefully, today, Randy's adventures in housing court. And I know this is long overdue, and I know this has already happened, and I know that there's a lot of catching up to do because there's part one, and then there's part two, and part one is with my good friend, the Bollywood lawyer, Seema Iyer Esquire. You can find part one on her podcast, The Bollywood Lawyer, if you just go onto her podcast and search for Adventures with Randy in Housing Court or Housing Court with Randy. I'll put the link up so that you don't have to look too hard, but looking is part of the adventure. And then there was part two that I did on my podcast after I had to go back after the super broke the stipulation of the settlement. And that sounds a lot of lawyerly lingo, jingo, mumbo jumbo, but basically he cursed me out for taking pictures of the overflowing garbage. And that was breaking the stipulation of the settlement where he agreed to treat me like a normal human being, which he clearly can't do because he is a deplorable, despicable, raging asshole. So I then, because he defaulted and broke his end of the agreement, I was like, this is not acceptable. I will see you back in housing court. So, and that's the remnants, sorry, of the cold that I'm still, I thought I was done fighting, but basically, clearly I'm not. So I might be pausing for a lot of drinks along the way, but the raspiness in my voice may sound better or worse. So this is basically the end of what I hope is my adventure in housing court. So you can listen to one, you can listen to two, but the bottom line is he broke the stipulation. I went back, I filed all, refiled all the papers. I got the date to go back to get before the judge with the lawyer, because now I know, since I'm an expert at housing court, since I've been there now twice, what to expect. So I pack an apple, I pack something to drink, and I know I'm going to be there all day potentially, and I know it's going to be an adventure, and I know I'm going to see all this crazy shit, and it's going to be like an episode of Night Court. And if you don't know what Night Court is, I highly advise you to Google it and then binge watch every episode because it'll be worth your time. So basically I end up back in housing court, and I'm really sick and tired of this bullshit, and all I want to do is be able to have shit fixed in my apartment, which I still don't have fixed, and I still have to call an outside porter, and I still have to pay with my own money. And that's still a pain in the ass, and I still shouldn't have to live like that because I pay my rent, I'm a good goddamn tenant, and I want shit fixed when it breaks. And I sit here in my apartment and pray that nothing major, no major appliance breaks, and I have to actually call the landlord and deal with setting up an appointment with the super. So that being said, here I am in front of the same judge in the same courtroom going through the same drama, because if he's going to fuck up my time and fuck up my life, I'm going to do what I can to fuck up their life too, because that's the only leverage that you have as a tenant is to take someone to housing court. I'm not going to risk losing my apartment. I have my rights. So fuck that. So back in housing court, I'm going to try to keep this short so I don't drag it all out, because you can listen to it all on your own and have the original account, which is probably better than this account, you know, to pull from for information. So there I am back in housing court. And I have my folder with all of my papers in it, with all of my receipts, with all of my notes on it. And I will also put up a picture of what that looks like, because that's actually kind of laughable, because I didn't bring a notepad, so I'm like scribbling all over the outside of this manila folder, which makes it actually look like I know what I'm doing, because apparently that's what everybody does in housing court. And now, you know, I'm an expert. So if you ever have any questions about New York City housing court, please feel free to tweet at me or DM me in the Twitterverse, and I'll do what I can to help you. And there are actually some very helpful websites, which I can also let you know about, where you can actually chat with real live people that can give you real help in real time, which was very helpful for me this time. So I get to housing court and I'm sitting there, and I know now the attorney that I'm going to be facing, and I know what she's like, and I know that she's probably just as miserable that she has to be there dealing with this bullshit again, but she has to go because she represents the landlord, and I'm dragging her ass there because that's all I can do. And this time I said, you know what, let me see, before we get up in front of the judge, let me see if I could talk to her like a human being, like one person to another. Like, look, I don't want to be here either. I don't want to be wasting your time either. You look just as miserable, if not more miserable than I do, because you're here dealing with this shit. And I'm guessing that in all fairness, she knows the situation. I can't be the first person to complain about this super. I can't. The building's been here way longer than I have. So I ask her after they call us up and say, you know, can you work this out? But I said, can we just go outside and talk about this for a minute? Just give me 2 minutes. That's all I need is 2 minutes for anything. And she says, fine. And we go outside in the hallway and I said, look, I just want to be able to live. I mean, this is like the sob story of sob stories. I just want to be able to call the super and get stuff fixed and not have some anti-Semitic, racist, bigoted lunatic, like, come into my apartment. It's a very uncomfortable, unnerving feeling. I'm an adult. I'm a grown-ass person. I shouldn't have to call my brother or a friend of mine to come sit in my apartment because the super is coming over to fix something. And I'm uncomfortable. I already have a dog for that. I already have a service animal because of, you know, because of the fear that was instilled in me after the initial incident. And, I mean, it's ridiculous. He's the one that has the problem. Nobody else in the, everybody else in the building has the exact same problem with this guy. So it's clearly this guy. And I know the landlord knows this guy. And I know the lawyer knows it's this guy. Because everybody else knows it's this guy. Nobody wants it to this guy. All the complaints are the same about this guy. He's rude. He's disrespectful. He's not on time. He doesn't communicate. He doesn't fix things properly. But yet somehow he still has a job. Which is insane. Because if anybody spoke to people the way this guy speaks to people and the way this guy works, you'd be fired in a nanosecond. So that being said, I talk to her and I say, look, I just want to be able to call someone. I just want, there has to be another super that works for this company. My friend lives in this building on the east side and has the nicest super on the planet that actually calls to follow up and asks if there's anything else he could do or call me if there's any more problems or why can't that guy come here? So I'm like, why are we stuck with this guy? I mean, I don't get it. Nobody likes him. It's not even a like thing. This is not even personal. He sucks at his job. Take all the personal bullshit out of it. I don't have to like you. You don't have to like me. But you can't curse me out and say anti-Semitic things and racial slurs and be completely disrespectful to me when I haven't done anything to you other than expect you to do your damn job. I pay my damn rent. It's your job. You are the fucking super. What don't you get about that? So that's all I kept saying to her. I'm like, all he has to do is come in and do his job and be on time. I don't need to take an entire day off of work or sit in my apartment for an entire day or get somebody to sit with me an entire day. He comes in. You don't know when he's coming back. He goes for a part. You don't know if he's coming back. You don't know if it's going to be fixed the same day. If you're going to have to make an appointment for him to come back another day, how long is it going to take to fix? Can I get you something for lunch? Nothing. There's no communication. He is a miserable, miserable human being who hates his job, clearly. And he's made that known. In the last argument that we had where he waved his wallet and said, I only work for this. I don't work for you. I work for the man and my wallet. And he waved his wallet like on the sidewalk. Everybody could see it. And don't think everybody was watching because we were screaming like lunatics on the sidewalk. So all I wanted was somebody to come and be able to fix my stuff. I have doorknobs hanging off my linen closet that haven't been fixed. I have wires hanging out of my ceiling because the smoke alarm hasn't been fixed. I went and bought all these little smoke alarms from Home Depot and have them planted all over my apartment. If God forbid there's a fire, because I don't want this guy coming in my apartment and connecting wires and reinstalling my fire alarm. It's ridiculous. So I said, that's all I want. So we're like, okay, let's go. All we could do is see what the judge says. So I get in front of the judge finally, and the judge actually remembers me from the last time. It had to be the tattoos. And I'm one of the last people again to go. And I said, look, this is the situation. He's anti-Semitic. And whoa, he said anti-Semitic. As soon as I said the word anti-Semitic, everything stopped. The lawyer's Jewish. I'm clearly Jewish. The judge is Jewish. And he went off. He turned to the attorney and he said, listen, first of all, why does this guy even have a job if he's using anti-Semitic slurs? He shouldn't even be working for this guy. He shouldn't be working anywhere. And the judge even said, if he worked for me and he said that, he would have been fired as soon as he said it. So he's now laying into the lawyer, and the lawyer's like, I know, judge. Yes, judge, I'll tell the, and she had to go back, and the judge made it clear, you go back and you tell your boss that this kind of behavior is unacceptable. And I won't tolerate this kind of anti-Semitism, and I won't tolerate the way he treats a tenant like this. And he went on for like 30 seconds maybe. And she was like, okay. And she knew it, because you can't sit there also as another Jewish person and hear that and be okay with it. And he was not okay with it. I'm not okay with it. So all of that being said, there was no way she couldn't say that she could get me another super, which is all I really wanted. So what did we do? We agreed to another settlement. There was another stipulation of settlement written, pretty much the same as the last one, but that said this time, if anything happens again, you can come back this time with an affidavit, and then this time we'll take it. We'll take the next step. I don't know what that next step will be. I don't want to go back through this again. I don't want to go back through waiting in line, filling out the paperwork, window two, window three, go to the second floor, go to the 11th floor, get this sign, come back down, go online. It's exhausting. And I'm guessing that's why housing court lawyers make good money, because you literally spend, I can't imagine if you have multiple cases, just spending your entire day in housing court dealing with that. I mean, I'm thankful that there's housing court lawyers for tenants, but I can't imagine trying to represent a landlord or a slumlord. And I know, again, that there are people that have it much worse than I do, but it's all relative. And my life being what we're talking about, this is the way I live my life. And everybody knows it. And everybody that knows the super knows it. So with all of that being said, here we are. And I just, at some point, the guy is going to have to be held accountable for his behavior. I might never live to see it. I might be out of here before it ever happens. I can't see it happening because it hasn't happened yet. So with all of that, I signed it. What was I going to do? Not sign it? I said, fine, this is the agreement. Let's sign it. Let's see what happens. I don't know what else. Clearly, I have no other options. So I can either sign it and we can leave and we can have another stipulation. And if he breaks it, he breaks it. Obviously, he doesn't give a fuck. And we'll be back. And if he doesn't break it, fine. I'm still not going to call unless the roof falls in. And then God only knows what will happen. And I hope that never happens. And everything else I still pay this other guy to fix, this other handyman who works at my friend's brownstone, that I pay out of my own pocket to come and fix my stuff, or I fix it myself. Or I get one of my friends to come and fix it. So that's the situation. And that was that literally, thank God, did not take the entire day like the last time. And I didn't have to sit through like 87 people with, you know, stories that were just so harrowing that I was like, okay, I'm complaining about a super that doesn't work. But here I am complaining about a super that doesn't work, I know. So my adventure in housing court ended with another settlement, a stipulation, and it's in the folder with the other stipulation and all the other paperwork and all the other receipts and all the other crap. And I'm still taking pictures of the trash and filing it on 311. And it's a great app, and I highly recommend downloading it, because you don't have to sit on the phone, and you don't have to push 1 for English, and you don't have to push 7 for an operator, and you don't have to listen to an unending string of announcements about shit that's irrelevant to you to get to a human being. It's a great app. I would highly recommend downloading it. I would highly recommend listening to the first 2 episodes. Episode 1, which you could find on The Bollywood Lawyer, Seema Iyer Esquire, iTunes and Stitcher. It's free. It's funny. You should listen to it. Episode 2 is on my podcast, Ranting with Randy, which is also free. You can subscribe to it, and then you don't even have to go and look for the episodes. They will just magically appear in your podcast playlist. And that is it. That is all I want to say about housing court ever again. Why do I have the sinking feeling that it won't be all I ever say about housing court ever again? Because that is the joy that is my life, living the dream. So download the podcast, subscribe to the podcast. They're funny. You can forget about the traffic you're sitting on or the train that's not moving because of trash on the tracks. Or if you're sitting in traffic on the New Jersey Turnpike with nowhere to go, on your way to Costco, or on your way to Wegmans, you can listen. It's pretty much only where my mom listens, because she's one of the 4 listeners. The other 3, I greatly appreciate you very much. Thank you for always listening and always checking Twitter for the updates. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. It makes the perfect gift to give just for giving's sake. That is all for now. I'll be back. We're going to do back-to-back rants, because I have been slow on the uptake. I have been sick. I have been tired. I have been sick and tired. And there's a lot of shit to talk about. So this is all for now. Thank you for listening. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for hanging in with me. Have a great weekend. I will be back. Ranting Randy will continue. For now, I'm out. Peace.